the wind bloweth where it listeth.
You hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. That's how God moves. He comes in the lives of those that are dead in trespasses and in sins, and with the mighty rushing wind, he really knocks their house down that they built in this world and makes them new creatures and gives them a love for things they once hated and a hatred for things they once loved, changes your appetite and your desires in this world. And if that has occurred to you, then you've been made that new creature. And the life that you've been given, you're to live it in a way to honor and glorify the Lord, and recognize that every good thing in my life, every good thing in our lives, is a result of what the Lord has done for us. And then we're about what the Lord would have us to do in honoring Him and praising Him. And He did that. Everything He's done for His own glory, according to the good pleasure of His will. Because of He purposed to do it just that way. And it's good to have such a great, great God today to look to and lean upon in a world so full of trouble. We surely would be fainting if it weren't for the Lord. So please pray for me for the little time that I stand before you. Just seems like my mind's been kind of scattered today, and I hope the Lord will bring scattered thoughts together to be of some benefit to you. So just please pray that the Lord would allow me to focus, and more importantly, that He'd just take the things that we would say, guide them and direct them so that they would be a benefit to you, and most importantly, God glorifying to Almighty God. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll begin right at verse 1, but we'll really, I guess, begin with the verse just that precedes the 10th chapter, which is the 9th chapter and the 27th verse. So let's look at that first verse there, or that last verse in chapter 9. He says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Now this passage we know is written to the little child of God. All Scripture is written to the man of God, that he might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And this passage in particular was written by the Apostle Paul, as we read in chapter 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Here we see from this passage that we have fellowship with the Apostle Paul and fellowship with those he wrote to, because we as God's little children have a connection to them as the children of God. So that the instruction that was given unto them, though it was a long time ago that it was given, is for us today. We have Bible verses written, preserved, and kept, given to men a long time ago that are still profitable for us today as God's little children. And we know that's the case because God's Word tells us that. The Word of God is not yea and nay, but we can depend upon it. We can consider it to be the truth and consider it to be what we need. Many times Jesus said, verily, verily, or truly, truly. He was the amen. And everything that He's given us is what we need to have. So we don't have to question whether this is for us or not, because indeed it is. It's also important to know that it's for the little child of God, because if we start thinking about this falling in the sense of falling completely out of the hand of God, falling completely away from Him to where we no longer are His children, we've come away with a faulty view of what this passage is teaching. God's little children can fall. They can fall, but they can't fall to the extent they cease to be God's children. Aren't you glad of that? That what the Lord has done for you, that work He's begun in you, He said in one place, I'm confident of this very thing, that He that has begun a good work in you will perform it, that is, will continue it, will complete it, until the day of Jesus Christ. That is, until the day He takes us out of this world in death, or He comes again in the clouds and we meet Him in the air and He takes us home to be with Him in glory. That work that He started, He will complete. He will finish. He's not in the process of doing something that maybe He'll get done or maybe He won't get done. No, if you're a little child of God today, you'll be a little child of God tomorrow. You'll be a little child of God when you die. And when you live with Him in heaven in immortal glory, you'll live as a little child of God. I hope that gives you some rest today. I hope you're resting in that reality. And yet, He's telling us here, though we're to rest in the reality of one day we'll be with Him in glory, we ought to be concerned and not nonchalant or not taking it for granted that we'll always have fellowship and communion with Him while we're living here in this world as His disciples. You see, we'll never lose our eternal relationship because that's been worked by Almighty God and He's done that for us. And you cannot fall out of that which you didn't fall into. You can't fall out of that which you didn't have any part of. What He did in the beginning and working and loving you and dying for you and sending His Son for you and paying the sin debt for you will not be undone because you and I are unfaithful or because you and I don't do the things that God has commanded us to do in His Word. And yet there is a consequence to us and to all of God's children in our lives when we fail to follow Him and look to Him and lean upon Him. It doesn't matter how much He has blessed us in the past, which He has indeed blessed us in the past. You and I need to be concerned about this day that I'm walking with Him, that I'm leaning upon Him, that I'm looking to Him, that I'm trusting in Him. Again, not so that I'll stay His, because that's not even in question. You see, if we go that far to bring it to the point where you need to stay there in order to stay His, then there's no joy in that. There's no rest in that. And there's really no power to keep you obedient in that. But when you look to Him to get you home to glory, and then you recognize not only did He promise to get me home to glory, but He promised to take care of me in my walk of life, whatever comes, whatever happens in my life, whatever sickness I may have to face, Whatever problem, I do know this, that if you're living and you're born of woman, you're going to have a few days and they're going to be full of trouble and you're going to have all of that in front of you. And it would be a scary thing as a young family to think you're going to have to go through the rest of your life and even get to the end of it. And it's all up to you now to handle it all. The Lord is taking, even if you think He's taking care of eternity, that it would be up to you to take care of everything between here and there, and you were trusting in yourself to get that done. You know how much of that would glorify God? Not one bit. None of those things would glorify God. In other words, today, you and I need to trust in the same Lord that we're depending upon one day to carry us out of this old troubled world to be with Him. And He's given us every reason to trust in Him and given us ample warning about how we might fail to do that and reap grievous consequences as a result of that. Now, the Apostle Paul recognized that there was a degree that he could become a castaway. Now, the Apostle Paul is the same Apostle Paul that wrote Romans 8. And anybody who's been in an Old Baptist church very long has heard a lot about Romans 8. You're going to hear a little more about Romans 8 today. Because I want to verify, first of all, that you cannot become a castaway eternally. I want you to understand that you cannot become a castaway eternally. But I also want you to understand that God's little children who are eternally secure can become a castaway in this world in the sense of your fellowship and your communion and your interaction in a sense with God as we live here in this world. And I'll tell you, when you can't, how is it with you when you can't really feel it? It's not very good, is it? How is it with you when you feel like you pray and He doesn't hear you? Doesn't feel very good. How is it with you when you feel like you call out to Him and He's either not there or He's not listening, or you feel like He's not hearing me? And there are sometimes God's little children can feel that, and sometimes we are that way in order that we call on Him more and we look to Him more. He will lead you through that sometimes anyway. But sometimes we're there because we have fallen into some of the traps that the children of Israel fell into when they were coming out of the land of Canaan, and out of the land of Egypt, and they were headed to the land of Canaan, and they had all of the things that they needed supplied to them by Almighty God, but yet they walked at times like God hadn't done anything for them. You know, sometimes I marvel when I'm reading those accounts in the Old Testament of how the Lord took care of them, and how He brought the plagues upon Egypt in order that they might be delivered out of that. What did they have to do to get themselves out of Egypt's bondage? Well, the answer to that question is they didn't do anything. If it had been left up to them, none of them would have ever gotten out. As a matter of fact, when they were just about to get out, they saw a little trouble and they were ready even at that point to just to turn around and go right back into the bondage that they were in. They even started looking at it like we were doing okay in Egypt. Oh, doing okay in Egypt. Like I was all right in the world. Like everything was okay in the world. Let me say this. If God had left you and I in the world, we would have lived our lives in sin. We would have not cared about the things of God. We might have gained all the money in this world. We might have had the biggest house in town. We might have had all of the things the world would call successful. And when we died, we'd enter a place of torment and a place of punishment, and we'd be separated from Almighty God without any remedy or without any hope. Thanks be to God He didn't leave us in Egypt. Thanks be to God that He reached down where we were, and in our lost state, even though we might have thought we were doing okay, He smacked you. He allowed you to see you aren't doing okay, that you've messed up, and you may feel like, oh, I wish He'd have just left me alone. Be thankful He didn't just let you keep running that course. Be thankful He didn't let you be that hard-headed person that you are without His grace. Be thankful that He punishes you or chastens you or corrects you or takes His rod and His staff, and like a good shepherd sometimes He has to just jerk you in order to say you better straighten up. And thanks be to God he's loved you that much. Have you felt him do that to you? Hope you have. You want to know one of the greatest evidences a little child of God will ever have that they're a little child of God? Is when he loves you enough to chasten you. When he loves you enough to correct you. When he loves you enough to not let you get by with it. And I know kids would just sometimes, I remember being a kid, that was a long time ago for me, but I can remember being a kid enough to know I was kind of glad when they just let me get by with it. When they just let it slip. And they just let it pass by. I felt like mom and daddy didn't do that very much. My grandmama seemed like she never did it and never got by with very much. And I thought sometimes how mean they are to me, how that they're going to do this and do that. And y'all have heard me say this before, I even said sometimes in my own mind, I wish they had so-and-so for their child. They'd be glad they had me. Because I knew some boys that I grew up with that I said, if they just had him a while, they'd be glad it was me running around. You know, sometimes we think about that in the sense of what God's done for us. And we think we weren't so bad. We didn't do so much. I want you to know we all sin and come short of the glory of God. You know how many of us was good? Not one. How many of us came short of the glory of God? All of us. How many of us deserved his wrath? Every one of us. How many of us deserved his love? Not one of us deserved his love, but he, and despite what we deserved, just like Brother Hunter prayed, despite what we deserved, he gave us and showed us his love. And he loved you with an everlasting, unconditional love, and there's absolutely nothing that'll ever separate you from that love. You cannot become a castaway in that sense. He'll never kick you away. You know why? Because you belong to him. You're his child. He sent his son for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus paid the sin debt for you. Every sin you've ever committed was placed upon him. And there at Calvary, he paid the price. He bore our sins, our punishment on the cross. And every time you and I lie, Jesus had to die in order for our sin to be paid for. That ought to cause you to not want to do it so much. Because it cost him his very life. And he was willing to do that because he loved you that much. You know how many of his people, how many of his children he loved? Every one of them. All of them that he elected. All of them that he chose in covenant before the foundation of the world. And everyone for whom he did foreknow. Let me get to Romans 8. For whom he did foreknow. Romans 8 and 29. We've heard this so many times, I hope it never gets old to you. Romans 8 and 28 says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know who loves God without God first loving them? Nobody. We love God, why? Because he first loved us. And when did God love us? Long before we ever existed. He loved us before the foundation of the world. Somebody said, didn't he love everybody before the foundation of the world? No, he loved his people. Now that's a lot of people, but it's not everybody. Somebody said, how many is it? I don't know. That's innumerable. Means I can't count them. As innumerable as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. A number that no man can number. Which really means we don't have a clue who is his child and who isn't his child. And you and I have no right to think we can judge that. By looking around at people and saying, this person believes that, so he can't be his child. Or this person believes that, so I know that he's his child. Listen, we can't see the heart. We don't know what's in the heart. We can only see the outside. And I know all of us have probably, and I hope you haven't, but you probably have, been deceitful enough to know that what I was showing on the outside wasn't what I was thinking on the inside. You ever been there? You know what the Lord knows? He knows everything on the outside. He knows everything on the inside. He knows it all the way to the marrow and to the bone, to the discerning between. He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There's nothing that you and I will hide from the Lord today. So if we're sitting here trying to be something when we're not something, we need to understand we're not fooling him. We may fool others, but we won't fool him. And in time, many times, he'll bring that to light, won't he? Now, here's the good news. We don't get to heaven based on that. We get to heaven based on the good works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad when you get judged in glory? It won't be on what you did for Him. It'll be on what He did for you. If you're not glad of that, you ought to be. If I'm not glad of that, I ought to be. Because if it was in one degree, even the very best sermon a preacher may have ever preached in his life, even the very best deed that any man or woman ever did, if they were judged based on that alone, on whether they would get into heaven or not, they would come up short. Because the Bible says, even when I would do good, I find evil present with me. And there's enough wrong with my best action that I'd never be able to enter glory's world were it not for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for me. What's good about it is Jesus, everything He ever did was always just right, just the way it ought to be. He always pleased His Heavenly Father. And our eternal home, our eternal security is based in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did. And when we stand before God, it'll not be based on what we did for Him. It'll be based on what He did for us. And that's the righteousness that He sees in His little children when they come home to glory. It's the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's what I saw today when you were singing hymns. Little sister raised her hand while she was singing hymns. Why did she do that? Because she wanted to honor God. It touched her heart somewhere along the life. She wanted to express her gratitude to Him. She wanted to say, "Thank Thee, Lord, that I can sing this hymn. And I feel it in my heart. And that I can express that to Thee." And I wanted to raise, but where did that come from? I'm telling you, it came from a Savior who loved her and loved you some 2,000 years ago enough to die on the cross for you and say, "I'll take her sins. I'll take His sins in my own body." And the Father loved you enough that He sent the one that was so precious to Him. He loved Him in glory. And yet He sent Him to the cross because He loved you that much. Just to allow you to raise your hand and say, "Thank you, Lord, for being good to me." And how much ingratitude is it in our hearts when we fail to do that? And just say, "Lord, let me be thankful for what You've done for me." And that's what you see so much in these. I may not get to them so much, but that's what you see. If you read about how they came out of Egyptian bondage and how they traveled through the wilderness, and how they wandered around, which wouldn't have taken a very long trip, 40 years in a wilderness. Why? Because they wanted to be, they were rebellious, they were disobedient, they were stiff-necked. You ever get up with a stiff neck? It's not comfortable, is it? A stiff neck, you know. And I'll tell you, a spiritual stiff neck is worse than any natural stiff neck you'll ever have. When we don't listen to Him, when we don't pay attention to His rod and His chastisement, when we hear it over and over again from His word and we ignore it, when we take it lightly, when we get at ease in Zion, when we say like the Laodicean church, "I'm just rich and I'm increased with goods and I don't need anything," and don't realize that we're poor and miserable and blind and naked and we need Him. I need His counsel. I need His counsel to be the husband, the granddaddy now. Used to be the daddy, now I'm more the granddaddy. I'm still the daddy, but granddaddy, to be the pastor, to be the husband, to be what I'm supposed to be. Listen, without the Lord, I can't do anything. And you can't either. None of us can. You say, "Well, that's kind of rude." It's still true, isn't it? It's not rude. It's the truth. It's just telling us where we are. And here's the good news. We're dependent on the one who can do all things. So why would we depend on us who can't do anything when we've been given the Lord to depend upon who can do all things? When you're hungry, He can rain manna from heaven. How do we know that? Because He did it. It just came down out of heaven. When they complained about it, when they complained about the manna, they were complaining about the corn of heaven. They were complaining about angels' food. They were complaining about the blessings of God. That manna represented the Lord Jesus Christ. That manna represented Him. He says, Moses didn't give you that bread. I am the true bread. It represented Jesus. And the Lord supplied it to them. In order to know which way to go, they had a pillar of a cloud that went with them by day. It protected them. It covered them from the soaring heat of the sun. I don't know what it was like in the wilderness, but I can imagine it was pretty hot at times, don't you? That cloud that followed them during the day, it led them which way to go. Every day, and I mentioned this morning, y'all just bear with me. If it was okay this morning, it'll be okay this evening. But that cloud went, they didn't have to get up in the morning and say, which way are we going to go? All they had to do was follow the cloud. Just follow the cloud. So, well, what about night? Well, I got a pillar of fire. And who is that pillar of fire? Who is that cloud? Is it not the Lord Jesus Christ who said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world? Isn't it not the Holy Spirit which has taken up His abode in our heart, and He'll lead us and guide us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, and He'll do that forever? Isn't He there all the time? And all they had to do was follow the cloud. All they had to do to figure out where to go. You ever get in life and go, I don't know which way to go? Well, just follow the cloud. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And when you don't know what to do, stop and pray and ask God to guide you and lead you. And what did He say? He said, if you ask, he that asketh, to him it'll be given. If a man ask of me, let's go to the read it text. Boy, I ran out of fingers this morning. I'm running out of fingers this afternoon. In the Sermon on the Mount, and this passage just, it's been there all along, but it seems like it's meaning more and more to me all the time, especially as I feel my great need of His guidance and direction in my day-to-day walk. Each Sunday sometimes seems a little, as if it's more difficult. Because I'm taking things for granted. I need Him to help me preach. I need Him to help me study. I need Him to help me walk and to live my life. I need Him to know how to talk to my kids. I need Him to know how to pastor. I need Him to guide me and direct me. And all those things may not be your direction, but you have things, don't you? You have things that you have to do. And you can't do it on your own, can you?
No.
You need Him. And here's the good news. We have Him. Matthew chapter 7, He says this to God's little children who need Him. He says, verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Notice He didn't say ask and it might be given you. He says ask and it shall be given you. He says seek. And ye shall find. It didn't say seek and maybe you'll find. No, seek and ye shall find. He says knock and it shall be opened unto you. He didn't say maybe it would be and maybe it wouldn't. It's not yea and nay. It's a promise. Listen, the Lord gave them that pillar of the cloud by day. And we can look at that real quick over in, and kind of keep your hand there to Matthew 7 if you are, because I don't think I'm done with that. But He says, in as far as the pillar of the cloud and the pillar, in Exodus 13, 21, it says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. And what was the purpose of that? He says, to lead them the way. Isn't that good? Is He still doing that? Yes, He is. Now, you're looking for a visible pillar, you won't see that. But I'm telling you, the Lord's with us. I feel Him today. I feel Him right now. The Lord's with us. The Holy Spirit is guiding us. His Word is written to us. It speaks to us. It guides us. It directs us. When you don't know what to do, sometimes it's just a matter of tending the house of God and hearing the man of God that the Lord blesses to preach. Doesn't matter who it is. Daddy always said it this way. It didn't matter who brings the water. It doesn't matter what water boy is in the stand. As long as somebody brings the water, that's what's important. Doesn't matter which little lad brings it. Really doesn't matter which preacher preaches. It just matters that we have preaching. Because I need direction from the Lord. And this word is given to me to do that. This pillar of the cloud, it led them the way. And by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light. So in the daytime, they needed the guidance of that pillar to guide them in which way to go. And at night, when it's time to rest, that pillar of fire was about them to protect them and also to give them light. Isn't it good to know that God takes care of you both day and night? He's with you all the time. And he says to go by day and night. I'm not making it up, am I? Right there in the word. To go by day and night. So when was it time to move? When the cloud moved. When was it time to stop? When the cloud stopped. When was it time to sleep? Well, when you had the pillar of fire, he's going to protect us. It's time for us to rest. When was it time to get going? When that, where it went, they were to go. And that's all they had to do. You think that would be easy, wouldn't it? My life was like that. If I just had that cloud and that pillar, life would be easy. But we have it. We have it in the person of the Holy Spirit. We have it in Jesus Christ, who's dwelling in our heart. We have it in the guidance given from His Word. We have that pillar. And just as you think, well, they'd always be on track, but they weren't. You know why? Because they failed to listen. One place they got to thinking about what we used to have in Egypt. And I don't know what about the fish, but the fish and the melons and the cucumbers and the garlic and the leeks doesn't sound like a lot to me. But they said, oh, we remember all of those things that we had in Egypt, and they wanted to go back to Egypt. Oh, we don't have any food. All we have is this angel's food. You ever get to feeling like God's kind of not dealt fairly with me? Something in my life. You know what the Bible says? If you have food and raiment, you're to be what? Therewith content. And godliness with contentment is great gain. If the Lord has dealt with you as He did with them, you're His little child. And there is no falling away that you can do, eternally speaking. And yet, He warned them that He was concerned even about it to this point, that as He had preached to others, He might become a castaway. Okay. Wow. He says, and He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Let's go back over to Matthew 7 for just a second. We'll probably just close right here. I haven't touched what I've read. And we'll study that. Maybe we'll see it some other time. But I'm just thankful. I'll be honest with you. I'm just thankful He's given me something. I hope it's been of some benefit to you. I'm hoping it's been of some benefit to you. And if it has, you know what? Give who? God the glory. All good things. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And everyone that asketh, receive it. You know who asks? His little children that He loved in covenant before the foundation of the world. That are secure in Him. They're the ones who have faith and are enabled to ask. And he that seeketh finds. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? And that's a promise that comes from Almighty God. So, do we have a pillar of fire to guide us at night? Do we have a pillar of the cloud to guide us during the day? Do we have the manna that comes from heaven? Is not Jesus the bread of life, the true bread? Do we have water that comes from the rock? Absolutely. And you know who that rock is? That rock is Christ. And He is the one who supplies everything that we stand in need of. And if we have all these things, let us not fall into the errors of murmuring and complaining against God, against His Word, against the teachings of Almighty God, but let us just simply trust in the Lord and move forward in faith, leaning and depending upon Him. Now, just to kind of bring it all in as much as I can. Verse 11 of chapter 10. He gives you in verses 6 through 10 the warnings. And I encourage you to go back and read the things that they did so that we're not doing those things, which really basically get into idolatry, sexual immorality, gets into the things of this world where they lust, having lust of other things, the things of the world, loving not the world or the things of the world. To sum it all up, it's keep our eyes on the Lord and let seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all the natural things that we need. There are a certain amount of natural things you need. There's a certain amount of natural things that we have to have. And as we seek the Lord, He'll give us those things that we stand in need of. And He will lead us and guide us in our lives. And we can depend on Him and His Word to be all the instruction that we need that we can live in a way to honor and glorify Him. And he says in verse 11, he says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, that's saying we're in the last days. In other words, this is it. What are we waiting for? Some people are waiting for the Lord to come back, set up His kingdom upon earth, and to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And all of those things that take place, listen, He's already come. He's already put His kingdom in this world. We're enjoying that kingdom today. We're enjoying the fellowship with Him. We're in the last days. When the Lord comes again, He's going to gather His kingdom out of this world. And we're going home to glory. And what a day that'll be. And what we have now is we desire the sweet fellowship that the Lord's provided for us here in this world. Till He comes and takes us home. And he says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon the whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. This is the warning. Sometimes we think, well, I'm doing okay. Let's really examine ourselves today. Let's really remember, am I really looking to Him? I know where I am. And I feel like maybe you're with me. We could all look to Him a whole lot more. I could trust Him a lot more. As the hymn writer said, oh for grace to love Him more. Oh for grace to trust Him more. I need Him to supply what I need that I might really lean and depend upon Him. And then verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man. In other words, whatever you're going through, whenever you go through it, nothing's happening to you that hadn't happened to others of God's little children before. Sometimes we feel like I'm the only one who's ever had to face anything like that. That's the old devil telling you something that's not true. Because the Bible tells us there's no temptation, no trouble, no affliction, no problem that you'll ever go through that others haven't gone through also. And here's the good news. This is words of encouragement. But God is faithful. Just get that one. God won't let you down. God's word is always true. You can depend on it. God is faithful. And here's what God, He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. In other words, He sees what you're going through and He will supply grace sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee. He will give you the way out. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will take care of you just like He did the children of Israel as they came out of the land of Egypt. Whenever they had a problem arise, He was the answer to the problem. And wherever you and I have a problem arise, He's the answer to the problem. And we need to look to Him. He says, but will with the temptation, that is with the trouble, He'll make a way to escape. Isn't that good? God's going to make, and when's that promise for? Today and every day that we live until it's time for us to leave this world. And that's the way that ye may be able to bear it. Some people would say God will never put more on you than you can bear. Well, if it's just you bearing it, then how much can you and I bear on our own? Not a thing. Without me, Jesus says, ye can do nothing. Nothing. What he's saying is, as I suffer you to go through these troubles and trials and temptations, I will always supply grace sufficient for the hour, for the moment, and for the trial. And even every time, a way of escape, a way to find peace, a way to find rest even in the midst of trouble and trial. And this was written from a man who knew what trouble and trial was. The Apostle Paul suffered great afflictions in preaching and teaching the gospel. He goes on, we'll close with verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, that's who they were. He loved them. I love you today. Thank the Lord for you. My dearly beloved, flee. He says in one place to flee from fornication. He says it to flee. Here he says, flee from idolatry. And that is just starting to trust. We don't usually think of anyone is going to go build a golden calf like they did in that day. But who would have thought Aaron would have ever fashioned a golden calf? Who would have thought Aaron, as much as the Lord had taught him and had blessed him, and we know that he was a little child of grace, who would have thought he'd have ever built a golden calf? But the people came to him and murmuring and complaining, and he responded to them, and he said, well, I'll just give them what they're asking for. And he said, give me your gold earrings. And he took those golden earrings, and the Bible says he formed it, he put it and made it a molten calf, and he formed it and fashioned it with a graving tool. And when Moses called him into question about what he'd done, he said, I just put in their earrings and out came this calf. In other words, how did you get that idol, brother? When I look at one that I put up, I go like, how did that get there? Well, it just happened. No, it didn't happen. You and I formed it and fashioned it with a graving tool. What he's saying is flee from it. Tear it down. Don't let it stand. Why? Worship who? Worship God. Don't worship your preacher. You make an idol out of him. Don't worship your wife. Don't worship your husband. You make an idol out of them. Don't worship your children. Don't worship your parents. Honor your parents. And love your children. But they're not your God. There's one God. And we're to serve God. Be thankful when the Lord blesses with good leaders. But don't worship them. Worship God. Be thankful when the Lord gives you good brothers and sisters. Be thankful for them. But remember, God's the one who gave them to you. Don't worship them. Pastors are not to worship the people, and the people aren't to worship the pastor. The pastor and the people are to worship God, and we're to worship Him alone. Don't worship your job. Be thankful for a good job, but don't worship it. Don't worship anything. That's why he said flee from idolatry, because it can so easily creep in unbeknownst to us. We can wonder how it got there when we formed it and fashioned it with a graven tool. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. You can read on the date. Homework assignment, no. Yeah, what was that number? Do you still remember it? 222. I hope we know it. We're going to try it anyway. That's a good one to publish Open Door of the Church with. 222. It's a familiar tune. We just haven't sung this hymn very much. But I think once we start, we'll be able to get it okay.
I choose it because it doesn't have any bad words.
That's good. It doesn't have any bad words, yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. 222. We'll sing that and publish the Open Door of the Church, whether it be with this church or any sister churches represented. If there be one or more who would desire to unite, let your feelings be made known as we stand and sing together 222, Down to the Sacred Wave. Down to the sacred wave, the Lord of life was led, and he who came our souls to save, and Jordan bowed his head.
some way. He fixed a holy right. He paid his ransom once. Obey and keep the path in sight. The Holy Ghost came down, his baptism to approve the ordinance of Christ to crown and stamp it with his love. Dear Savior, we will tread in thine appointed way. Let glory o'er these scenes be shed and smile on us today.
Love you, brother. I love you, brother. I give the Lord the praise. I'll announce that each Wednesday night we're still meeting with the Meadow Creek Church, some of us anyway, on Zoom. And would certainly anyone who would be interested in that I haven't been sending a link to, just ask me forward if you're interested. I'd be glad to do that. And then each Saturday, we're meeting with Bethel Washington Church online, that meeting on Saturday morning. And continue to pray for that meeting. And any that can connect, please do that. Let me think. This upcoming Saturday evening at 2:30 is our conference meeting. Saturday before the fourth Sunday, that's this upcoming meeting. I'll probably send a reminder out to folks, but that's our conference meeting in the afternoon at 2:30. All that can be with us, we hope you can and will. And then we'll be meeting on Sunday morning next Sunday. It'll be 10:30 next Sunday. So we'd love to have any and all that can be with us then. Other announcements that you know of we need to make. Our Lord has surely shown his love towards us in giving us life and blessing our lives with all needed blessings. And may we, the very best we can, live our lives in a way to show him in gratitude, thanksgiving for all that he's done for us. And we do that by following him as he's taught us in his word. And that's a day by day. Brother Joe preached Wednesday night, fight the good fight. And it's a day by day battle. Endure hardness as a good soldier. And present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's day by day. That's not just coming to church. It's every day living in a way the best we can. Church is part of it, but it's not all of it. It's every day living in a way to honor him. And I've got a lot of growing to do in that. And we all have growing to do, but we ought to examine ourselves and pray that the Lord would help us not to think we stand lest we fall. You know, just trust him. So, anyway. Anything else that anyone has? If all minds are clear, then we'll look to the Lord in dismission. And Brother Mike, I'm going to ask you today, if you would, brother, to dismiss us in a word of prayer. Love you, brother.
Dear Lord, we close in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend, above anything, you do, God, for giving us true hope, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Dear Lord, we thank you for what we've heard. They come to us in power, Lord, demonstration of the Spirit.
Praise,
I felt it in my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
Even the songs we sang.
Yes.
Not so much. Dear Lord, we pray that you would gladly heed God's word. Help us to walk upright, Lord. Help us to trust and be good. Help us with everything we stand in need of, Lord, to be honorable. Forgive us for all of our sins, Lord. Help us to do better, Lord. Again, trust you more, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being so good to us every day of our life, Lord. Be with us, Lord, until we meet again. Allow us to feel that presence, Lord. It means so much to us. We thank you for forgiving us for all of our sins. We just pray to be better, Lord. And know that we'll just be adding to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be with us. Lead us, guide us, and direct us, Lord, until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate that, brother, so much. God bless you. Love you all so much. Love you, Sister Mama. God bless you. I miss Sister. Love you all. God bless you. Thank y'all for being with us. Love you, Sister Judy. God bless you. Good to see you, Sister. Love you. Love y'all. God bless you. Thank the good Lord. God bless you. Thank you for being here, God. God bless you. God bless you.
Yeah. I put a smaller water tank. I was going to go with the
Stetson Brothers.
But yeah, now they try to bite that. Ain't gonna happen, right? Tell me all you did. I don't feel that helpful.
Oh, brother, no. I'm not bragging. I was just telling you I was just doing it. I'm retired. You're not. You got a job. So don't feel bad at me.